Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Hey, welcome to The Kitchen Table. This is episode number 27, our final for the year 2018.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh,
this is going to wrap up 2018. We've been doing now The Kitchen Table for just over a half a year.
Yay.
Every week, diving into a faith question. Let me just explain the premise. If this is your first episode, be sure to go back and listen to the first 26. We'd appreciate it. But the premise is this. I am Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And we are a father and son. We started The Kitchen Table with one simple purpose. We want to see parents have more faith conversations with their kids. And kids can be young adults, they can be teenagers, they can be little kids, it doesn't matter. But just to have those faith questions, mm-hmm. I consider the number one ministry I have in life being able to disciple my children. That's number one. And so this is a way to have those faith conversations. Now, wouldn't you know it, Jake decides to go and graduate from high school.
Sorry.
Now he's attending college nearby, currently on Christmas break. First semester in the books.
It is.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it feels great.
Yeah. Only seven more to go.
Yeah.
Because he's close by, we're able to have these faith conversations. And so I just wanted more time. I wanted to have more conversations. Mm-hmm. And we've had these conversations over the years, but they've haven't been this formal setting. And literally, we have no kitchen table in our house. We have a dining room.
Yeah.
And we have a counter in the kitchen, but we have no kitchen table. Thus, we have the kitchen table here every week. So faith question for this week. And I saw this faith question, and it really popped out to me because I saw a friend post something online about cursing and whether it's okay for Christians to curse, because someone, a public figure who's a believer, used some curse words, and a lot of people called him on it. And this guy's like, what's the big deal? You know, and this guy's a follower of Christ as well. So the faith question today is it okay for Christians to curse, use swear words, have a potty mouth, talk like a sailor? No offense to sailors out there. It's just an expression. So to start with, I found this blog. Actually, there's an article on the Huffington Post website called The Comfortably Cursing Christian by a guy named John Shore. This is actually written in 2010, so it's got some years to it. And I wanted to pull out some things from this and kind of get your thoughts on these, because I have thoughts on these as a parent, you know, and teaching mm-hmm. my kids things. He says, I'm a Christian who is entirely confident that God is perfectly okay with me cursing whenever I want. That was his opening line. Then it says, the key phrase here is whenever I want. I don't often want to. I very rarely use curse words. And he talks about how if he's around children, of course, he doesn't do that. He also tends to be his best around strangers. He doesn't know how they'll respond. But when he's with friends or people that he knows that won't be likely be offended, he will curse like, quote, a warehouse working teamster, is what he says in this article. He says, for the first year or two after he became a Christian, he totally tried to never curse. Because he figured that was part of the whole Christian thing, the whole Christian deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he says it made him feel like his whole body felt constipated. That's the word he uses. So he started cursing again. He says, I figured God would be happier with me if I just said what I had to say instead of always hemming and hawing, trying to come up with a language of expression different from any other language I'd ever known or used. He says, I like to curse if cursing is called for. He says, our language has evolved in such a way that there are a lot of curse words and phrases that capture a thing better than can be done without them. When I read that, I'm like, this guy just doesn't quite get it.
Yeah.
When you become a Christian, there is a life transformation that happens. It is not instantaneous. You'll hear new believers who will share their testimony, and there's examples all the time, and they'll toss in a curse word in there. That's because they are being transformed. There's, you know,
mm-hmm.
as you become a Christian and as you learn to walk like Jesus walked and be like Jesus is, your life changes. It evolves. It matures. You are discipled. Your language changes. And when he says that there's no better way than by using curse words to express certain thoughts, that's what frustrates me. Because I'm teaching, especially my youngest son, Michael, who's 9, teaching him, because he'll hear a curse word and he'll immediately point it out to me.
Yeah.
I always use the example. It's obviously that person's vocabulary intelligence is not where it needs to be able to express themselves in a way of not using words that are not healthy and not good.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture. The only thing with the transitioning of your vocabulary with Christian is that you have the big Christian words. And
I'm not saying you're transferring.
No,
that.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, when you are trying to spread the word of God to people, you might have to, I'm not saying use curse words, but you're going to have to kind of, no offense, but, like, dumb it down. Because not everyone's going to understand what salvation or, like, predestination or just those big Christian words that we have. I'm 19 now, and, like, there's some words that I don't even understand still. The only plausible, really, way that I could see using a curse word with that is, like, you are in a situation that is very, like, oh, they have, like, you're in a bar.
Right.
You're not going to talk, like, really Christianese because...
Don't use Christianese, but also...
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that I would be okay with that. Like, for
you
me...
You would be okay with you using curse words in a bar?
I'm okay. No.
Well, this is going good.
No, it's not.
Come on, bring it back.
I'm just saying that, like...
I'm not saying use Christian speak. In fact, I'm against that. Because when you're talking with somebody and you throw out these big theological terms like justification and sanctification, all these kinds of, they are clueless. But I am saying you can have clean speech and communicate truths of the Bible without using the big words, but also being able to relate to somebody and not use curse words.
Yeah, that's
like
what
I have friends that aren't followers of Christ. I'm hanging out with them. They're swearing. They never hear it come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
They know where I'm coming from. I can still have a great conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condemning them or judging them for using that language. I'm not going to use
that
language.
You're just not going to put... Oh. And the weird thing is that, I mean, I grew up with you. You obviously... I've never really heard you cuss. I've probably heard you maybe say, like, one word, and that's about it.
I'm trying to think what one word that was.
I don't know. I can't remember. It was so long ago. As I, like, grew up, I'm seeing, like, as I go to friends' house, their family cusses. And, like, they don't... When I say cusses, they, like, just... They use, like, hell or... The D word or some like light words, not like the F bomb or like.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like there are levels of curse words that they have.
There are levels.
Yeah.
There are varying degrees of levels. And some people, and this is why I even tell Michael, your younger brother, this, that when he uses a derivative of a word, I don't like him to do those as well.
Because it's the thought.
Because
the idea
you're just changing the word a little bit and thinking accepted. So what does the Bible specifically say about having a potty mouth? Well, culture will tell us these are just simply words. They aren't that bad. Using profanity doesn't mean that we're wicked or we're just simply using slang. This is just words of the street, right? Well, consider what God's word says. According to God's word, the world has it wrong, and we should take this seriously as followers of Christ. Matthew 15:18. The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. Our words reveal the heart condition. Crude, foul, demeaning, hateful language shows true character. As a follower of Christ, someone setting an example and sent out, because we're all sent out, according to Scripture, Jesus wants us to make disciples. We use Christ as that example. James 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in Christ's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be."
Yeah, I mean, that's like the whole sermon about the tongue is like the hardest thing to control.
It's true.
And so I remember hearing about that one all the time because like it's kind of misdemeaning whenever you are speaking about God and praising God and then going later and using vulgar language.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Well, how do we counteract culture when it comes to language? Because let's face it, you look at television shows and movies and they're just full of language. PG-13, it's allowable to have at least one F-bomb in PG-13 now. Yeah. That's teenager, beginning teenage years. You know, it's counterculture for us to talk the way we talk. How do we break a bad habit? Maybe you have a bad habit and keeping your words clean every day. There's no easy answer to this, but here's some places that we can start. Number one, we must stop taking the Lord's name in vain. It's the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Deuteronomy 5:11. We must stop allowing cursing on our screens as parents, even have it on YouTube. And that's why I'm controlling as best as I can the content, especially that Michael, at 9 years old, is consuming. He doesn't hear those words from his parents.
Mm-hmm.
But he hears those words in the world. Guy across the street. Michael comes in all the time. The guy across the street saying bad words. I have no control over that. But again, I use that as a teaching moment.
Yeah.
We must stop allowing cursing on our screens. Here's what the Bible says. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's Luke chapter 6, 44 and 45. What goes in will come out. How many times have I told you that?
Too many to count.
Exactly. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
When you're around people that use a lot of foul language, do you hear it in your head?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, you've had a job in the secular workplace and, mm-hmm. you know, around non-believers. You hear the words. The words are in your head.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not adapt ourselves to that language, and we have to be careful. How do we practically control the screen time? How do we do that? You're going to binge something on Netflix. This is what you can do. The first 3 minutes of a program is going to tell you everything you need to know. In that short amount of time, if there is a frequency of expletives, then you got to make a wiser choice. Now, our son likes to watch stuff on YouTube. We're unfamiliar with YouTube, what he's watching. We got to keep an eye on it. Now, mainly he's watching some guy play a video game,
mm-hmm.
and it's fairly innocent. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have control over what that guy's going to be saying. Pay attention to what's on the screen, what you hear. What they hear is going to be repeated. What your kids see you watching, they're going to want to watch. So keep it as clean as possible.
Mm.
We must guard our mouths. God's word makes it very clear that we should watch what we say. Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. By filtering our words, we're actually protecting ourselves. We're protecting our children.
With what Michael and everything that he watches, it's a very easy access to hear those words. It's very hard to make sure that you're listening to good things because it's so common, especially with YouTube and especially with video game that he likes to watch. And so you'll hear these random words that he comes out and says, and you're just like, where did you hear that? And it's very common nowadays because YouTube is so big and Netflix is so big and just all those devices.
Well, we try to justify it, like the blog post that we read at the beginning of this about how he feels he's perfectly okay of using those kinds of words. But Scripture completely says the opposite of that. Ephesians 4:29, don't use foul or abusive language. So it's not just curse words. Abusive language can just be mean to somebody. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. You know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, God doesn't want us to do this. The reason being is because we are living in the light and giving up our former life when we accepted Christ. The verses just before that, Ephesians 4:22-24, they remind us to throw off the old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let me just throw in there as well. Let the Spirit renew your tongue. Put on a new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So this is God's answer to this question. Is it okay for us as Christians to curse? The answer is no. It is not Christ-like.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
As followers of Christ, we're supposed to be set apart, different, peculiar people, not of this world, foreigners, until Christ returns for us. So our lives should look different from others. 1 Peter 2 says this, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that rage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors." The word among there. That doesn't mean we just retreat into our little Christian bubble, but we live among our neighbors with them, but not as them. We live as followers of Christ. Christ has set our example. Our language is different. The way we do things are different so that others notice. They notice something different about us. It is our witness to them. We show our witness by the way we live our lives. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you do that. Nobody should flinch or be surprised when you open your mouth to speak, to even argue, to read one of your social media posts. They shouldn't gasp. We are different, and the world needs to see the difference in us. I'm starting to preach, am I?
Yeah, a little bit. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Where did curse words come from? Because a donkey used to be called what we consider the A word now.
Yeah.
The D word. It used to not.
It used to be damnation.
Exactly. How did these words become curse words if this was acceptable back in the day? Like,
again, culture tells us what words mean and what words don't mean, okay? When that unwholesome talk that they're talking about, when this word, because let's face it, the F word has been around, I think, for centuries is what I've read. When it becomes unwholesome, when it becomes derogatory, when it incites anger, when it's harmful.
That's when they're talking
about. So don't even think of it as curse words. Just think of those words that hurt people.
Yeah.
That are judgmental. Mm-hmm. That labels. We have words that label races that are horrible words that are just as bad as what you'd be classified as curse words.
Mm-hmm.
They all fall in the same category for me. What comes out of your mouth, that wholesome talk, that's what makes a difference. And that's why this blog that we mentioned early on, he doesn't see that. He doesn't get that. We are being transformed into Christ's likeness, and that transforms our language. James 3 talks about cursing people. Swear words can be definitely defined this way, but they are used other ways as well. Countless words that we would consider to be innocent in themselves can be strung together in the worst of curses.
Hmm.
How often does cursing someone start with, "I wish so-and-so," and then you just fill in the blank? Probably more than we care to admit. And James 5 clearly says, do not swear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, swearing, the definition of swearing, that's tied to an oath, a promise. This verse is more relevant to a conversation about swearing on the Bible in court than the other sinfulness of an individual word. And more than not, when we use these kinds of derogatory words, whether they be curse words, swear words, or whatever, it's out of anger. Profanity can leave our lips more out of anger than anything else. So that can be traced back to the attitude. Anger in itself is not a bad thing. It's not a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Our response to anger. Now, people always tend to point out, oh, Jesus got mad. He got angry. Remember the temple? He flipped all the tables. No. He was mad. His response to anger. Is that a sin? Well, they say Jesus didn't sin. Our response is in the same way. How we respond in an anger, an outburst of anger, says a lot about our Christian witness. And that's all what it comes down to, our language. So can Christians use curse words? Can they swear? Can they use profanity? It all comes down to your Christian witness.
Yeah.
Like this author said earlier, well, there's just no better way to explain the expression without using the curse word. I think that's a cop-out answer. Because I'm constantly telling my 9-year-old, if your vocabulary intelligence is not enough where you can't communicate that to me without using those kinds of words, then you need to go start reading a dictionary.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I think it's just really hard, especially for young guys. We're constantly surrounded, like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to a Christian high school, and that still didn't stop.
Right.
I think that we get this idea in our head that, oh, it's fine. And especially, like, for me, because I went to a Christian high school, and you just, oh, okay, whatever. You finally start to think about it, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so it's just harder for younger generations. It's very easy to conform to that. I'm going to try and push through. I hope you do.
As you shall. Yeah. Well, that wraps up the faith question for today. We're going to move on to a segment we call Music Matters. So Music Matters, for those that are new to the program, we actually look at music that is fairly new to us, music that we like. I always think that I have a pretty good grasp on music because I work in the radio industry.
But you don't.
But I do to a certain extent, but your music circles tend to be different from mine.
Spotify.
Yeah. So we share stuff with each other, and then after we share, you know, a newer song with, I go back in time to do an oldie but goldie from 1992 this week. I start first, I get a new song. This one of my favorite singers, songwriters, a Toby Mac protege named Ryan Stevenson. Great guy. He's got a great story. Just a super, super nice guy. So he's got a new song. It's coming out very soon called With Lifted Hands. It's a worship song. It's about surrender. It's about, man, how do I make it through this world where I can learn to be like Christ and have a language that is pleasing to him?
Yep.
It's about surrendering to him and following his example. So this is just a little bit of Ryan Stevenson. It's called With Lifted Hands.
With every
good one. I like it.
I like that very much. Great song. Great guy, too. And by the way, the reason we only play about 10 seconds of the song is because not only does this air on Shine.fm, but we have this on a podcast, and we don't have permission to play the full songs on the podcast. So that's why you just get a little more. So the songs we mentioned, we want you to go find, and more than likely for the songs I pick, they're going to be on Shine.fm very soon if they already
are. Mine won't. So my song for the week is Here Comes Heaven by Elevation Worship. And Elevation Worship is a big worship band. I feel like they're on the same level. It's like Hillsong and Elevation.
There's a few of them out there.
They're really
Jesus
big.
Culture.
Yeah, Bethel. They're all big.
Yeah.
So the reason I chose this song, we did the Christmas worship set.
Yeah.
This song was in it. And it's very... It doesn't feel like a Christmas song. It's not a popular one, but some of the words are very Christmassy, but it is a very worship song. The bridge, it goes, now behold his glory, glory in the highest, all the earth rejoice for Christ is born. So that's where you get the Christmas aspect of it. It's also talking about the coming of heaven to earth, the waiting for it and just being excited for it. So here's a little bit of Here Comes Heaven.
Great song from that band.
Yeah.
Now they're from North Carolina, is that right?
You probably know more than I do.
I think that's the case. Yeah, just Elevation Worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, great song.
That song is also very weird to play. If you're a music guy, it goes a measure of six and then a measure of nine and then it's all over the place.
I'll take your word for
it. It's very confusing.
Okay, now that we've done the new stuff, we're going to go back into the old stuff. And this is what we've done for a while. I would always feed old songs to Jake as he was growing up so he would get that experience. Just read an article this week about how your generation is big into the old stuff.
Yeah, and I can believe it.
And it's not necessarily because of parents doing that. We had a part of it. But also in the fact that music is just accessible and a lot of the old stuff is in a lot of the TV shows and movies today.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Their whole playlist was
there. You go.
Old stuff.
Well, let's go back to 1992. This is the number 24 song from that year. We've had him on the kitchen table before, but we're going to bring back another song from Michael W. Smith. The reason I'm mentioning Michael W. Smith again with another song is I just saw next year, I think in April, they're doing a big event in Nashville at the hockey arena where the Predators play.
Really?
To celebrate the 35th anniversary of his song Friends, which is a massive song. He has got 30 different artists that are going to be a part of this celebration.
All friends. Pun intended.
Yeah, I just thought that was cool. But this is the number 24 song, 1992. It's called I Will Be Here For You. This was actually a crossover hit for him on mainstream radio as well. Here's Michael W. Smith.
I didn't know Michael W. Smith got so many crossover hits, because the last one
he
chose was crossover, too.
Yeah, in late 80s, early 90s, he had several that crossed over. So
that's cool.
Well, that wraps up Music Matters. Time now to do Culture Shock. All right, Culture Shock this week. We've sort of been talking about the theme through the program here, even though we were talking about the faith topic of, is it okay for Christians to curse, use swear words or profanity? It's all about our Christian witness. Mm-hmm. And in Culture Shock, you might have saw this a couple weeks ago, there was a pastor, mega church pastor in South Carolina. His name is John Gray. He pastors a church there called Relentless Church, and he purchased his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. And he was defending his purchase. This is what he said. God helped me to make my wife's dreams come true. Why not? She made mine come true. He says, my wife has pushed for my dreams and my vision, and she has toiled with a man who is still trying to find himself that carries a weight. I wanted to honor her of how she's covered me. So he's been taking a lot of backlash, of course,
mm-hmm.
for a pastor to spend $200,000 on a luxury vehicle when the average income of the town he pastors in is about $54,000 a year. So I want to talk about this because, again, it goes back to that theme we're having run through the podcast mm-hmm. of your witness as a follower of Christ. I'm going to use a story from my own history and past. Okay, we were missionaries in South America. We lived in Ecuador, then we lived in Argentina for most of the time as missionaries, and Jake grew up there for a good chunk of his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a missionary, you live inside of a fishbowl.
Yeah.
Everybody is watching you, more so than just a normal person following Christ here in the U.S. You're there. They know why you're there. And so they're going to just watch you. It's sort of like NASCAR waiting for a wreck. Mm-hmm. They are waiting for you to fail. And so you have to be real careful about your outward testimony. We did certain things there because of that. This was a time when flat screen televisions were fairly brand new. They were expensive, and certain missionaries would buy flat screens. We bought a used big old tube TV.
I remember that thing. That was huge.
It was. It wasn't a big TV. But
just, well, no, like yeah, it was just heavy.
Compared to today, it was thick and heavy. Yeah. Yeah. We also, when we bought our furniture, because you have to buy your furniture there, we bought all natural pine. That was the cheapest, the most common furniture there. That way it wasn't finished. You could stain it yourself. You could paint it yourself, whatever you wanted to do. We also purchased one of the most common vehicles that existed in the country. Okay. It was a Peugeot. Didn't have automatic transmission. It was manual. You had to shift gears. You had a propane tank in the trunk because it was a propane and gas tank. And that was just the most common vehicle. Whereas other people would buy the SUVs, the automatic mm-hmm. transmission, just your testimony. For example, I had good friends of mine who asked me, another missionary in another country came back from the United States and he'd been there speaking for, you know, so many months raising money. And he immediately got back to his mission field and he removed all the furniture from his house and he removed the carpet from his house and put in brand new carpet. Again, not thinking of the witness. This person asked me, why did they do that? They had perfectly good carpet. It wasn't ripped. It wasn't stained. They just didn't like the color.
Yeah.
That was a witness to them because, let's face it, in the country, that country, I won't give that country specifically, carpet is a luxury of itself. It's just, it's expensive and not mm-hmm. many people have it. And they just ripped it out to put in new because they wanted a different color. And they bought all new furniture because they wanted different colors. And that communicates something to them. And I think that's why the backlash of this pastor to spend that kind of money on a luxury vehicle, because it's your testimony. How much more good could be done with that money? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that guy hasn't been successful and earned his salary. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why a pastor needs that kind of money. We look at scripture and it talks about how it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, and how money can be a trapping. And we see people fall all the time because of it.
It gets complicated when it does that. And with the whole Lamborghini thing, like, good for him. He did it. And it does look bad. I don't think that we have the right place to judge him on that, because he probably did work hard for his money for the car. As a pastor, you are to be an example. And so buying a Lamborghini is a very...
It comes down to your witness.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, like, not good-looking thing to do. Because, like, I remember my youth pastor was telling me about how he went to a church and the pastor bought, like, a Cadillac or something. The pastor was getting backlash for it, and my youth pastor, he asked him about it, and he said that he had really worked hard for it and that he'd wanted a Cadillac ever since he was a kid. And so I think, like, there's a very faint line of where it goes too far. And I think that if you had the dream, and a Lamborghini is a very completely different
it's
car.
It's a different line. Too.
Exactly. Like, that's, yeah, a Lamborghini is kind of obsessive. A Cadillac, I don't know. That one's, but he had wanted since he was a kid. And so I think that is fine.
And some people manage their money
yeah,
really
exactly,
well.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You like, know? You there's completely different perspectives of each story that you don't know.
Right.
I don't become quick to judge because there's some things that I probably don't even know about the story because I just heard about it like 2 minutes ago.
I'm sure there is. But the bottom line is our witness
yes.
is everything. The way we live our lives and the way others see us and perceive us, we have a lot to speak into that, whether it's our language that we use or whether it's how we use our finances. We should all do those things yeah. according to the way Christ has set the example for us. Bottom line, that's what it is. It's going to wrap up Culture Shock for us and also bring us to an end of the program this week.
Episode 27 and the ending of 2018.
So we thank you so much for tuning in. 2019, just a few days away. We'll be back next week with a new episode. If you want to stay in contact with us, again, we are on the Kitchen Table group on the Shine.fm Facebook page. So again, follow the page. We'll push additional resources there as well. Mm-hmm. And love to get your thoughts and love for you guys to share with us your faith question so we can discuss that here on the program. So have a wonderful week. Have a prosperous 2019.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to the Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast. Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.